It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. And we know it's week 17 in the NFL, which means a lot of you might no longer be in a redraft league. We get it. There are, I guess, some leagues that do go till week 17. That doesn't make a ton of sense, but I don't know, Evan. I guess based on some of the dudes that were playing in week 16, I guess you could argue that how much of a difference is there between week 16 and 17 in some cases?
I'd say that there will be more teams not playing at full effort level, whether that is because their season is over or they don't have their all their starters out there. There will be a lot more of that this week as opposed to last week. Most teams will still be going all out, but I think that it's important if you're playing daily fantasy to know, you know, which teams you might want to shy away from because maybe, you know, this certain receiver only plays the first three or four drives and then they pull them out, or, you know, which defense do we think has lost its motivation? And maybe we should target that defense if the team on the other side is going to be playing at full effort level.
I think that's a really good point. Now, there's always a little danger in doing this because, you know, I don't know. I thought the Ravens would play really hard. I don't know that they'd play that well. I didn't think the Rams would play that well and that hard. And then you did have some teams like the Giants and the Titans that seemingly laid down. So it is our best guess. It's going to be a little different. We'll start with the AFC version of the Fantasy Feast podcast. We're mainly going to give you guys nuggets for daily fantasy. So we're going to try to talk about motivation level, especially from a daily fantasy perspective, of course, at DraftKings.com. He's Evan Silva. He's a RotoWorld.com superstar at Evan Silva on Twitter. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. My second year now in the books as a fantasy football player. I will officially be a vested veteran next year in year number three. Let's get going, Bri.
Next meal.
Let's start with the game I'm going to be at, Evan. It will be in Buffalo, the Jets and the Bills. And this is one where there's no question about motivation for both teams. The Jets obviously win and they're in the playoffs. The Bills want to try to get to 500. Maybe more importantly, Rex Ryan knocked the team that fired him out of the playoffs. Anything jump out to you about this game from a daily perspective? You know, I don't know. We're recording this on Tuesday this week. Don't know LeSean McCoy status yet, but Mike Gillisley, I would imagine, might be an interesting play, although going against that Jets run defense is not good.
Right. And he got less work than Carlos Williams last week. Carlos Williams was the guy that I was mostly on, and Gillisley ends up getting a lot more fantasy points, but the right process play was Carlos Williams. Just unfortunate that he did not tear it up like Gillisley did with that late TD. But who stands out? Brandon Marshall would stand out. Brandon Marshall was a guy who I was on a lot early in the season. I was on him in season long, got him in a bunch of MFL 10s. Just did not end up playing him a ton in daily fantasy all year. I didn't play him enough. But this is a great spot for him. I think the Jets, like you mentioned, win and they're in. And the Bills are definitely going to be without Stephon Gilmore, who went on IR a couple weeks ago, and Ronald Darby may not play. So a great matchup for Brandon Marshall. You know, the Jets are going to do what they always do, and I think they'll have success against the Bills' defense. Do you think that Rex Ryan has lost his team at all, Ross, or do you think that he will have his team up for this
one? Yeah, I can't say that because of the fact that they did, you know, beat the Cowboys last week. I know the Cowboys are a disaster, but I can't say that he's lost the team. But I do wonder if he's lost certain players.
Do you feel like he's lost
like
the
Mario
defense?
Williams?
Yeah. Like, what is up with the defense? Like, I thought that was going to be one of the best defense in football this year.
It's been an absolute It's been one of the bigger sneaky disappointments in the NFL. There's no question. Let's move on.
Next meal.
Well, there is a team in South Florida that has very little to play for and whose offense is an abomination at this point. And they're going against the New England Patriots, who have a lot to play for in terms of making sure they secure home field advantage. Boy, I don't think I'd play any Dolphins in this one, Evan. And for the Patriots, you kind of got to pick your poison of who you want to play, but there's got to be somebody on the Patriots that's worth taking a look at.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the Patriots score a lot of points in this game. You know, if it gets out of hand, I think that they will probably rest guys late, but you know, by then the damage should have been done. Just monitor who's going to play. You know, I think in an ideal scenario from a daily fantasy point standpoint, Edelman and Amendola would both not play, because then you could look to, you know, Rob Gronkowski as a go-to guy. And I think he underperformed in fantasy a little bit last week, but he made a lot of big plays against a defense that he still made his fair share of big plays against a defense that didn't have anybody else to worry about, and pretty much dominated the game anyway. So, you know, I would think that this has a chance to be a big Gronk week, big Brady week. Remember, this team does not really have a power running game. I know they've got some guys that they can run power with, you know, on occasion, but I think that they will remain a pass first offense against Miami. Dolphins have an abominable pass defense. I mean, you know, bottom three. So, love Brady and Gronk here.
Yeah, do you agree with me that there's nobody to play on Miami? I mean,
Oh,
Jarvis
yeah.
Landry, I guess, produces all the time, but I would imagine Belichick puts the lockdown on him, or at least tries to.
And his health has been an issue. I mean, he didn't do anything until the second half of last week's game. And he's had some slow weeks here down the stretch, missing some practice time with a knee injury. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he could end up catching a lot of passes. That's what Jarvis Landry does. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I would look elsewhere, I guess.
Next meal.
This is the AFC podcast. There's no Thursday night game, but we're starting with the AFC because the last game is Packers Vikings on Sunday night. The Titans are at the Colts. Colts at least showed up on Sunday, and Miami played pretty solid defense against the Dolphins, although the Dolphins do stuff like having the center snap the ball before anybody else is ready in critical junctures, things like that, that generally bad teams do. Going against a Titans team that really, Evan, appeared to lay down when they got slaughtered by Brandon Weeden and the Houston Texans at home. The caveat is it looks like the Colts will be starting Stephen Morris at quarterback, who they just got off the Eagles practice squad. I just can't imagine that this is a very good game to look at from a daily fantasy perspective.
No, the only guy I might think about it, and it feels like chasing points at this point because he had two touchdowns last week, but that would be Frank Gore. I think he's 109 yards shy of 1,000. And I think that the Colts will be able to do what they want, mostly, I mean, you know, within the range that Stephen Morris allows them. But I think that they'll be able to generate offense against a defense that, you're right, I think for a couple weeks now has looked like it has not been playing at full tilt. So I kind of like Frank Gore. I wish that he wouldn't have had last week's game, because now not only does it look like a point chasing pick, but a lot of people will be on him now, or a decent number, and his price probably went up as well. I haven't looked yet, but I think Frank Gore comes out of this with a solid game.
Anybody for Tennessee?
No, I mean, I think Delonte Walker will, you know, will be will get his though. I mean, I think he only had like what, 60 yards last week around that on 15 targets. That's brutal, and that's a you know, a product of quarterback play and the rest of the offense. But I think you could look at Delanie Walker and Frank Gore from this one. Not that either of them stands out as a play that's particularly awesome.
Moving on. Next meal. Ryan Mallett and the Ravens in Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. It looks like I've seen reports that AJ McCarron's wrist is bad. And then I've seen other reports that he's day to day. At this point, pretty clearly, we don't know for sure. But it's just something you have to monitor in terms of AJ McCarron. In this game, though, you know, the Ravens are one of those teams where I just don't expect them to lay down. They're just not a lay down team. They didn't lay down against Pittsburgh. I feel like they have some momentum coming into this game. I think they're going to play hard and play pretty well. But they're going against a pretty tough Bengals defense.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know what to make of Ryan Mallett suddenly playing well in Baltimore, you know. It's hard. It's hard to process. It's hard to process Brandon Whedon being, you know, a top five fantasy quarterback. You know, that was a hard to process week for me. I mean, I knew
it's funny you say that. It's funny you say that, Evan. You'll appreciate this. John Hansen, the fantasy guru, has been on the podcast before.
Yep.
He said in 21 years doing this, last week was the worst week for running backs he's ever seen going into the week. Like in terms of, you know, projected production last week. It's just, it's been kind of a crazy year. So anyway, who do you like? Do you like anybody in this game? Marvin Jones, maybe, in terms of value?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could look at Kamar Aiken on the Ravens, Buck Allen. He bounced back with a really solid game, although West was still pretty involved. Cincy, you know, I would think that they would be able to have success against the Ravens, who have been one of the worst pass defenses in football. But I was pretty sure that the Steelers were going to rip the cover off the Ravens last week. And that did not happen at all. It shakes me, but, I would think that the Bengals would be in a good spot here from a passing game standpoint. McCarron is not really ever a guy that we'll look at fantasy, but he certainly is shown capable of getting the ball to the Bengals playmakers. I don't think you're looking at Jeremy Hill, although the Ravens run defense has not been nearly as good recently. I think you got to like AJ Green, and we'll see on Eifert. I mean, there have been like no details about what Eifert is going through, just radio silence on Tyler Eifert.
Yeah, I guess he hasn't passed, you know, the concussion protocol. You know, when we talk daily fantasy and we talk, you know, money and who you want to put value on, we're talking money. And sometimes you need a little something. I get it. We got a better way to get it, and that's Avant. Avant provides access to personal loans from $1,000 to $35,000 without ever stepping foot in a branch. Just go to avantoffer.com. That's A-V-A-N-T, offer.com, and enter our promo code FANTASY. And you will get a promo code for a $50 Amazon.com gift card after you make your first payment on time. Again, the code is FANTASY. The website is avantoffer.com, A-V-A-N-T, offer.com. And they give you a quick loan just based on your FICO score. Has no effect on your credit score. Loans made by WebBank. Funds are generally deposited via ACH for delivery next business day if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. FICO is a registered trademark of Fair Isaac Corporation. Amazon's not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details. Next meal. Keeping it rolling, and we'll go to Pittsburgh, where the Steelers will actually be traveling to Cleveland to play the Browns. And I love the Steelers in this matchup, Evan. I think they bounced back in a major way. Although I was pretty impressed with what Cleveland did defensively last week in Kansas City in the second half, I'm still not believing it or buying it. Another Manziel video has popped up. I think the Steelers roll in this one, and I think their guys put up their typical numbers like they didn't do against the Ravens.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the ownership numbers when they come out in Daily Fantasy on the Steelers guys, because they burned so many people. I mean, on paper entering last week, and I know that there's a home road split where Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger have not been as nearly as good in road games for now an extended stretch. But, you know, other than that, I mean, there was every reason to believe that Antonio Brown was like the best wide receiver play on the board last week. And I think you can make an argument that Martavis Bryant on paper entering the week was number two. And Martavis Bryant, I mean, I think he had two drops and he had like eight total yards. I mean, he was a complete bust. And so you know, people will, all the people that were on those guys, and they were on those guys for a reason because they were good plays. You know, a lot of people will not want to go back to that well. And so in another great matchup, you know, will those guys be a lot lesser owned in Daily Fantasy this week because they burned so many people last week, myself included? You know, my gut first instinct is like, no, you know, screw those guys. But I think I'm going to jump back on it as well. They certainly need to win this game. It's at the same time as the Jets game. They need a win, and the Steelers need a win and a Jets loss to get in, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So they'll be going all out for sure. I mean, and D'Angelo Williams, he was the stud last week, and he could very well easily be the stud again this week.
What about for the Browns? Anybody? Anyone? Bueller?
No. I mean, you could look at Travis Benjamin. The Steelers have been giving up some big games to opposing wide receivers, you know, for a long time. They've, you know, pretty much every week an opposing wide receiver will have a big game against them. So maybe Travis Benjamin, and they've also been pretty leaky against tight ends. The thing is, do we know who the Browns starter will be this week?
As of Tuesday at 3:15 p.m. Eastern time, no, we don't. Last we heard, Mike Pettine was going to review the latest Johnny Manziel video and talk to him about it. What a disaster. Let's just move on.
Next meal.
The Jaguars are at the Texans. This game is actually sneaky intriguing to me. The Texans don't really need to win. I mean, you know, I guess they haven't locked it up yet, but like nine teams need to win for the Colts to actually win the division. So the Texans don't really need to win, but I expect Hoyer to be back in the lineup. I expect them to be playing their guys. The Jaguars are about as automatic as it gets right now in the passing game and putting up fantasy numbers. But the Texans' defense kind of getting their sea legs as well. How do you see this one?
Yeah, I agree that it's a really interesting one. And I think that the most interesting prospect is if Brian Hoyer plays, because the Jaguars get ripped up in pass D. And I don't think that the Texans will be able to run the ball consistently on the Jaguars' run D, which is really good. So if Brian Hoyer comes back, and look, I understand that Brandon Whedon had that huge game last week, and I would feel very uncomfortable trying to count on something like that again. But if Brian Hoyer comes back, you know, he would become underpriced, I think, in daily fantasy. I think that DeAndre Hopkins would become, you know, maybe the best receiver play on the board. And I think that Nate Washington, because Cecil Shorts is not going to play, Nate Washington has had big games every single time that Cecil Shorts has missed a game this year. I think that Nate Washington would be in play as a punt play wide receiver. I would love to see Hoyer come back, and I think Jaguars would be, or Texans passing game members would be awesome plays in this game.
What about,
you know,
for the
let me mention this, that TJ Yates had a big game against the Jets in fantasy against in the Texans offense. Ryan Fitzpatrick had a pretty good year last year under Bill O'Brien. This year, Brian Hoyer, I think he's had the best year of his career, maybe by far actually, in Bill O'Brien's system. And then last week, we see Brandon Whedon rip it up in O'Brien's system. So, you know, is there a correlation here? It seems like the system is very friendly to quarterbacks.
I don't think there's any question about it. And I know Ryan Fitzpatrick still talks about how much he felt like he learned last year with O'Brien. What about the Jags receivers? They put up such huge numbers. Yeah. Do you still think they're worth their daily price this week against Houston?
I don't know. They would probably be, because they're all coming off big games pretty much, except for Julius Thomas, I would probably move away from them in a difficult matchup based on, you know, people trying to chase last week's stats as well. I mean, that's not to say that they're bad plays. It's just I would look elsewhere for better values.
All right.
Next meal.
Well, we got to talk a little bit about the AFC West. It's the Raiders at the Chiefs. Chiefs were offensively challenged in the second half last week. They really didn't move the ball at all. And the Raiders won. They found a way to win. But if I'm a Raiders fan, I'm a little bit wondering what's going on with Derek Carr right now. And now he's going against the Chiefs defense that has really been pretty good, even without Tamba Ali and Justin Houston, which is just amazing.
Yeah, and this is a game where the Chiefs may not – they're one of the likelier teams, I think, to not play all their guys, right? I mean
– yes, they are. Yeah. They are essentially locked in. Well, I take that back. They are the likely five seed.
They can move a little bit. Or they
seed.
Can win the – I'm sorry, go ahead. I shouldn't interrupt you.
No, that's okay. They can still win the division if they won and the Broncos lost to the Chargers, which I think is unlikely. If the Chiefs lose and the Jets win, then the Jets get the number five seed and the Chiefs get the number six seed, which you don't want. I mean, you want the five seed. You want to play at Houston. That's what you want. So I think the Chiefs play all their guys to win because they okay. want that five seed and the possibility of getting the three or the four seed if the Broncos lose, which, again, is unlikely.
Okay, so, yeah, I guess it just kind of occurred to me that maybe they would rest because Andy Reid has rested before. He did in week 17. He started Chase Daniel and a bunch of younger guys. He rested Alex Smith before that shootout game against Indianapolis.
Yeah, they haven't made that. Last I saw Andy Reid, they haven't made that decision yet, so they're at least thinking about it. That would not make a whole lot of sense to me. I do think I think the Texans actually should think about sitting some people, but that's a whole other story. Anyway, Chiefs Raiders.
Yeah, I think it'll be a low scoring game. I don't think that anybody on the Oakland side has really played well enough recently for you to be like, oh yeah, you know, these are great plays, you know, against a really good defense. You know, somebody would really have to be tearing it up recently to want to really look at against a defense like this. On Kansas City side, it's going to be a timeshare. You know, Charkandrick West is the lead runner, but he loses work to Spencer Ware. And I think what last week, Charkandrick only finished with 14 touches or something like that. He'd be a lot more interesting if it was just him. And then, I mean, I think Macklin would be a good play against the Raiders. I think he would match up the least with David Amerson based on where they normally line up. David Amerson has been awesome for Oakland this year. And he would get better matchups against the rest of the Raiders secondary. And I think he would be a good play.
All right. Next game.
Next meal.
It is the Chargers and the Broncos, as I mentioned. Broncos, obviously, a lot to play for because if they get this win, they lock up the bye in round one of the playoffs. So They are playing their dudes. Chargers, not in a good place. They've got essentially nothing to play for. I think their coach is probably going to get fired. They might be moving. They just placed one of the most popular players on IR after fining him for watching his daughter dance. I am not expecting the Chargers' best effort in this one.
Okay, okay. So then you have to decide, you know, you're probably going to get the best effort from young, hungry players still, like Jason Verrett. I wish that C.J. Anderson, you know, was the clear-cut lead back for the Broncos, but that's not the case. You know, it's been mostly Ronnie Hillman recently. From a proportional standpoint, it's Ronnie Hillman has basically been the lead back, even though C.J. Anderson has run better when healthy. I don't know. Nothing really stands out to me great in this game. Emmanuel Sanders has been, you know, started to play really well recently, though. I might look at him against San Diego because I think that Verrett will be on Demaryius, and I think that Emmanuel Sanders will get more favorable opportunities against the rookie that they've been playing from Texas State and Craig Mager and Patrick Robinson. So I think Emmanuel Sanders does actually kind of stand out. One note, last week, Vernon Davis barely played. I mean, he's had some drops and crucial moments, and I think he played like single-digit snaps on Monday night against Cincinnati. So, but that could change at the drop of a hat. You know, he could come back and be, you know, resume sharing time with Owen Daniels. But right now, you know, on Monday night, it's worth noting that Owen Daniels was the clear primary tight end for the Broncos.
Yeah, good call. I noticed that as well. I just don't think they want to have a guy out there that they can't rely on to catch the football when he's open. I get it. I also get that that's the end of the AFC Fantasy Feast podcast for today. Love any emails you guys have. We're going to get into some cooler things the next few weeks. We'll dial it back to one podcast per week starting next week, just breaking down the wild card games from a fantasy perspective, start to maybe get some guests on. It should be fun. But we still have the NFC Fantasy Feast for tomorrow because we want to make sure you're all ready for Week 17. If you haven't played Daily Fantasy before, Week 17 is a great time to do it at DraftKings.com. Use our code FEAST and listen to the NFC podcast, which we're going to record right now.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.